encourage us just your mercy and grace. And Father, I ask, Lord, that you would just continue to do that tonight. Each and every one that's gathered tonight in the building, Lord, we've all come with one thought, Lord, is to draw closer to you. What would you have for us? Lord, what step can we take tonight? Bless us. Have your way in every phase of the service that you may get the glory and honor. We ask this in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you, Father. Amen. Praise his name. Do you love him?
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated if you'd like. Praise his name. Turn with me a little chorus together on our only believes on 470. I am blessed. Is that the way you feel, saints?
Yeah.
Oh, I do. Oh, how blessed we are. I am blessed. I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, do I lay my head to rest? I am blessed. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, I am blessed. I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. Oh, when I wake up in the morning, till I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. Amen. Oh, worship him. Hallelujah. Oh, I am blessed. I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. Oh, when I wake up in the morning, lay my head to rest, I am blessed. I am blessed. Amen. Are you really blessed, saints? Oh, it's his grace. Hallelujah. Page 36. This shower of blessings. Amen. He promised it, saints. Hallelujah. There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Full showers of blessings, showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessings, precious reviving again. Over the hills and the valleys, showers abundance of rain. Showers of blessings, showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing, come and now honor thy word. O showers of blessing, showers of blessings we need. Oh, mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessings. Oh, that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing, now as on Jesus we call. Showers of blessings, showers of blessings we need.
Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead.
Amen. Sing it.
Oh, showers of blessing, showers of blessings we need. Oh, mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead.
Amen. Oh, what a wonderful day. Amen. Oh, he's so wonderful, saints. Praise his holy name. Turn with me on page 242. Amen. Worship him in moments like these. Amen. He sends his blessings down, and saints, we just worship him and praise him. Amen.
In moments like these, I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, I lift up my hands. I lift
in our lives, oh God. Lord, the blessings you give us unconditionally, Lord, you loved me ere I knew you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, how I love you. Oh, praise his name. Oh, how
singing out.
saints. Hallelujah. Oh, he's so good. So precious. Amen. Let's just sing the little chorus. Hallelujah.
Just worship him.
Amen. Just feel sweet worship spirit moving in.
Hallelujah, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, oh Lord. Hallelujah.
Would you like to come up?
Praise his name. That's the blessing. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we love you. said and done be for your glory and honor. Lord, once more we ask that you'll bless this offering. Use it for the upbuilding of thy kingdom. We ask it in the name of our precious Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Here's my cup, Lord. Amen. Ever needy.
Here's my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul.
Father, Lord, truly, we are a needy people, Lord, and we thank you so much. Father, how I see it in my life, how unworthy I am for the love so great you've shown on me. But Lord, your grace goes beyond all understanding. And Lord, I truly want to say thank you. Thank you so much for the love you've shown to me. Lord Jesus, we are truly, Lord, a needy people. But Father, you know every need. Lord, you know every heart that's here. And I pray, Lord, that you would just meet the need according to your will. What you know that we need, Lord. And Father, just have your way in every life. Lord, that we can become those prisoners, love slaves. Lord, truly not doing anything out of habit or grudgingly, but a burning, white-hot desire, Lord. Lord, doing every word that you speak. And Lord, may that flaming desire be to find out what you speak. Lord Jesus, help us now. Just touch every heart, Lord. Whatever needs they have on their hearts, just touch them and bless them. Lord, and may we glorify your name. And may we testify. Not hold it back, but let people know that you're alive and that you're meeting and fulfilling your word. We thank you, Lord. Bless the service tonight. Every phase, Lord, may it just, Lord, you get the glory and honor and everything. We ask in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise his holy name. You may be seated. Amen. Would you have a song tonight, Karen? Ask if you come.
the days of the past. I see God's hand in my life, every step of the way. Through every test, He gave the courage and strength, and it was Him who brought the victory in the end. So Lord, I bow my head in humility. If anything good has come from my life, oh Lord, it's just been Thee. For it's all by Your grace. And someday I'll thank You face to face, but until then I'll bow my head and give the glory, Lord, to You. Lord, I give in which to live. Here's my eyes, here's my lips, so You can see and speak here through these ears, and then walk through my feet. Then the beauty that comes forth will be Yours. So Lord, I bow my head in humility. If anything good has come from my life, oh Lord, it's just been Thee. For it's all by Your grace. And someday I'll thank
what your desire is.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Let us all stand. Let's sing a little chorus. Have Brother Timothy come this evening. Let's sing that little chorus as he comes. Let's sing In the Presence of Jehovah. Help me sing that. Amen. In the presence of Jehovah. Thank you. Amen. Let's just bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, how great it is to come into your presence. And Lord, just to feel you speak to our hearts and to feel you woo us with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, as each one of us stand here with our heads bowed, Lord, and as they sang the precious little song there, each one of us, Lord, stand here humbly before you tonight, Lord, just as a vessel asking you to use us, Lord, to your glory and to your honor. Lord, that through these fleshly temples that you placed here in this junction of time, that you would receive all the glory and the honor, Lord, and that you would prove to this nation and to this people that you are alive and living. And Lord, we count it such a privilege and an honor, Lord, to feel what we feel burning in our hearts, Lord, for the desire that we feel, and Lord, the precious sweetness of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we've come here tonight to let you have your way, and just asking, Lord, that you would bless your precious word, this few scriptures and quotes that you've laid upon my heart. Lord, may it strengthen someone, help someone along the way. And Lord, may we never fail to give you the glory and the honor. And Lord, just let us be vessels that you can use. Oh, Lord, that you would just take us in your hands, Lord, we pray. That we would be those rugged warriors, Lord, that you wanted to be. Lord, a vessel that you would receive praise back from, Lord, that you could prove. Oh, Lord, let it be in our lives, I pray. Bless us now, Lord, as through the remainder of this service. And we ask it all in your precious holy name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, don't you love him?
Amen.
My, he's so sweet.
Yes, amen.
My, you know, you could just stay worshiping him all night. You can just get in that, and you can just, oh, just like a bathtub. You just want to soak it up, you know?
Yes,
and you feel it all around you, that warmth. And
amen.
My, just love, feel him like he's wrapping his arms around you. Amen. Well, oh, he's so precious to us. Amen. You know, while you're still standing, I guess let's turn our Bibles over here to John, the 10th chapter. A little thought came upon my heart, and I believe the Lord was there in the room, and just, I pray that I don't make it sound jumbled, but I'm praying that it'll strengthen someone. Amen. But, you know, we got to remember, saints, that we're individuals with God, each one of us. As we travel this life, it's an individual affair. And we've got to make heaven our home, if that's the desire that's burning on the inside. But let's just read here John, the 10th chapter, the 27th verse, and you can be seated. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Amen. May the Lord bless me in his word, and you may be seated. Oh, the saints, we're living in such a precious time, but as we see the approaching of the coming of the Lord and all the things that's taking place around us, but yet there's so many wonderful things in the Scripture, but yet it's such a sober time and a serious time as we see the age of deception that we're living in, and as we see all that takes place around us, and you know, I was just... these things come upon my heart, and it may seem a little different, maybe elementary, but maybe it'll strengthen someone, help someone.
Amen.
But I'd like to turn over here to John, the 6th chapter, and read a portion of Scripture. Oh my. Saints, we serve a living God.
Amen.
Amen. Great he is. I want to read here in John, the 6th chapter, in the 40th. We'll start about the 47th verse, and I'm just going to read this so you can get so we catch what was happening here when Jesus was speaking and what he goes to say. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness. We realize he's talking to the scribes and the Pharisees here. They were questioning him. And he says, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. And I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat?
And then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. And whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. And he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me even shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. And many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, they said, This is a hard saying, and who can hear it? And when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Doth this offend you? And what, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But they are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore, unto you that no man can come to me except it were given unto him of my Father. And from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And then said Jesus unto the 12, Will you also go away? And then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And as I was reading this, I want you to stop and think where those disciples must have stood at that time. And you have to look around as saints, and we each one have to be honest with ourselves. God's word doesn't lie. And we see it in reality. And I want you to stop and think now as you look throughout all of the message churches of where we stand today. And I want you to look at the word that was spoken through our precious prophet. And as he began to bring the word and he brought the word in it, at first when he come on the scene, his message was easy. It was healing the sick, just like Jesus' message started. When Jesus first started walking the Sea of Galilee, there was many followed the miracles and the great signs and wonders that was happening, and they stayed right with him. And oh, they were happy and joyous, and they were all flowing right in. But then Jesus began to speak the word to them. In many different places, he began to speak harsh things, things that cut at them, that hurt them, where they were wrong, things that was hidden in their life. And as that word began to cut and began to pinch, then they began to walk away from him. They had no more with him. And so the word is done in this day to this so-called message churches, so-called bride, as we might say, as we look throughout the land, we see the precious word and the Holy Spirit here to vindicate that that was the word of God for this day. When he began to preach and to begin to bring those things, oh, it was wonderful. Oh my, I was in the thoughts of God. I'm eternal. I can never be lost. All of these great things that God began to speak. But through all of that speaking, he kept saying, I'm going to have a prisoner. And I'm going to have a bride that's going to be without spot and wrinkle. And she's going to be just like I am. My identification's going to be in her. It's going to be my reflection that's seen. She'll be so precise, right there on time and in line. And as that word began to shave down and as that image began to be made plain, that's when many began to start to turn. They didn't like the heat and they didn't like the pinch. And I want you to stop and think. Now, we each one gather in here tonight to hear the word, and we come here often. And we gather here with maybe my husband, my wife, friends, family, mom, dad, brother, sister, whatever. We all gather here. And as we come in, and I want you to stop and think of this situation as Jesus began to speak here, how many that was in that group was probably related to those disciples in some way, if you stop to think about it, at that time, how they could have been related in different ways and manners. And here, as they, and maybe close friends, as they had walked along listening. But as they all begin to turn and leave these 12, Peter, there was something in there as Peter heard these words. Lord, where else can I go? And I'm sure that at the time this was being spoken, Peter didn't fully grasp what was being said to him. But he knew there was a ring of truth to it. And he could, and you know, as I'm sure as Peter stood there, his mind was going back to the things he had already heard and seen, and going back to the scriptures and the scrolls and all the things the prophets had said. And going back in remembrance. But nevertheless, here stood these 12 men. And they took their stand. Where could I go? But you know, as we, I want to turn here in the message, Three Kinds of Believers, and read about paragraph 51. And saints, I want you to think of this as we, as I move up through these quotes. And but I want you to think and put yourself in this place. We stand here today in the same situation as a lot of this. So many, when they heard that you believe in two souls, they turn. Oh, I'll have no part of that. Oh, you think that through marriage and divorce, polygamy, that all that came in and it was right, and you take a stand for that? Oh, I'll have no part of it. I want nothing to do with that. Or you think it's got to be a life lived so close to God that you must not have the world hanging on you, to be, don't be like the world, you know. Oh, you don't want that. And then when you keep your pulpit clean and you don't let in all the drums and the hoopla that goes with it of having a big fancy song service where everybody's jumping in their pews and jumping around, and you take a stand that it should be worship. It's back to what the Word said, not what some man has said. It's back to the Word. When you try to take it back to the Word, you see so many. You're fanatic. You're falling off. That's hogwash. We don't want nothing to do with that. And that's where these disciples were standing. That's what was happening as Jesus stood there and spoke the word to them. And it began to fall off. And that's where we're living today. And those 12 disciples were standing there as individuals. And each one, but I want you to hear in the Three Kinds of Believers, paragraph 51, Peter's, he says, this was preached November 24, 63. Peter, this unlearned person, was standing near when he saw a thoroughly vindicated word of the day that God promised in that day, that there would be one rise up, which would be a prophet among them. And Simon was hard to believe it, because there would been to seem so many impersonations of it. But when he seen the genuine unfolded word of that age and hear him properly identify him, he was certainly convinced who he was. And he was the one, and said, Lord, to whom would we go, when it was asking? And when the crowds was separating between the believers and the unbelievers and the make-believers, there was all three of them standing right there in that one company of people. Believers, make-believers, and unbelievers, right found in this chapter right here. And because that Jesus had spoke the words the way he did, it separated the congregation. But it must be done. He was a great man as long as he healed the sick. But when it come down to the doctrine and the prophecy, that's what separated the chaff from the wheat, see? The chaff only wraps around the wheat. It's not the wheat. It cannot be used. There's nothing in it. No life in it. It's in the husk, and it cannot stay with the... I read, because we were seed, we could be quickened. Amen. And he says, and it cannot stay with the wheat, but it won't be air with the wheat, so it's got just grain is what we're talking about. The heart of the grain of wheat. And now notice, Peter was convinced that that was the Messiah. And it don't make any difference what all of the rest of them said. It didn't make any difference what the priest said. Didn't matter to Simon Peter what the church said. He was convinced himself. Jesus told him in one place, he asked, who does man say I am? And some said you're a prophet. Some said you're one of the prophets, old prophets raised up, and you're Moses or Elias, someone. He said, I ask you, what do you think? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, blessed art thou, Simon, the son of Jonas. For flesh and blood never revealed this to you. You never learned it from a book or from a creed or from a catechism. You said, my Father which is in heaven has revealed this to you. There is a genuine believer. Spiritual revelation of the word, see. Up, thou art Simon, and upon this rock of your revelation of who I am, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it, see. No wonder Simon said, to whom would we go? Jesus turned and said, do you wish to go also? And they said, Lord, who would we, and where would we go to? For thou alone hast the words of life. You're the only one. For not only did he have the words of life, he was the word of life. He was the word of life, and Simon thoroughly recognized this. And when he recognized it, that was what kept his hold because it was revealed to him that he was that living word. And now that's a genuine believer. When the Holy Spirit, not some persuaded by some other person, not by some other thing, but when the Holy Spirit has revealed to you the word itself and you see the word made plain, vindicated, amen, then the Spirit of God come in and get in that age, the word for that age, and make it manifest. Amen. And saints, as we come in, maybe we've been in this message a long time, or maybe I've just started following the message, so to speak. But what am I, when I begin to look, when Peter, Jesus spoke to Peter and he said, come, follow me. And Peter took off after him. And then he began to watch the things that begin to take place as he began to follow Jesus. And he began to see the working of the Spirit of what those prophets had spoke of before, that Messiah was going to be. And it was revealed to him that this was that one. Now we know that Malachi 4, it says that the prophet would come. We've all read it. We've heard it quoted many, many times. And we can see that, but it's got to be a revelation to me personally that I'm not just following a group of people or just following a man that was named William Branham, but I'm here following Christ Jesus, the Word, as he placed it here in this day. And that's what Jesus was, the Word made flesh. And he come in a flesh body, and Peter watched. And it was different than what Peter thought that Messiah was going to be. He was expecting a king, but it was different from his idea of what he might have had from thinking that there was going to be a Savior come and take them and pull them back to where they should have been. But yet when he began to watch the Word and see that all that was prophesied and it was beginning to be vindicated, it changed his ideas. It changed his way of thinking. And he began to follow that precious word step by step. And he watched it, and it vindicated itself perfectly. And that's how it is with the prophet. Brother Branham came and he brought the word, and you can hear someone say he was a prophet. And someone might give you a book to read or a tape to listen to and say, this man's a prophet. He's sent from God. You need to hear what he's got to say. This is it. This is the only way we're going to be saved, is by what he said. And that's all good, and it's a start to begin to listen. But it's got to be a personal vindication and a revelation to you that you're not just following some man. Because then when the word begins to get tough and 25, 30 people beside you begin to say, that ain't the way it's got to be, where are you going to stand? That's what held Peter, was his revelation of who that man was. He knew that was the promised Messiah that was to come. He had seen the vindication that this was him. Amen. He had done exactly what the Scripture said he would do. So as we look around today and we see a prophet came on the scene. Before I get ahead of myself, let me see here, make sure. So we see this prophet come on the scene. And we realize he brought the full word. But it's got to be a revelation. You can't go along. You know, the Baptist, the Methodist, you pick any denomination, and they're following a religion, they say. But they got so many differences of opinion. And that same idea has crept over into this message, so-called believing bride. Because it's a spirit. And it's crept over, and now it's become the same way. We don't have to believe the same way, but we're all going to go to heaven. We're all going to join hands around that great table at that wedding supper. But that's a lie. That's not how it is. God sent his word, and he laid it out plain just the way it would be. And he selected a people to be here for that. But as Brother Branham says here in his unfailing words of promise, January 20th, 1964, he says, now when I come to Christ, this is paragraph 37, I knowed I had to have a foundation somewhere to stand on. And I was ordained in the Missionary Baptist Church. And then when I seen the doctrine of the Missionary Baptist Church was so contrary to the Scripture, then I could not base my hopes upon the doctrine of the Missionary Baptist Church. Then I thought I would go over to my mother's church. She was a Methodist. And I thought I would go over there, and I found again. So I know that if Jesus come for me, the Methodist people, we would sure leave the Baptist. And if he come for the Baptist, we would leave the Methodist. But I found in both groups fine people. And I know if he come for a church, which church would he come for? 900 and something different organizations. He isn't going to judge the people by the church. He is going to judge the people by Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is the Word. St. John, the first chapter, in the beginning was the Word. And before it was the Word, it was a thought, and in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It was all God. And then as God gave out His Word and what would be predestinated His church before the foundation of the world, that it would appear before Him without spot or wrinkle, and the timepiece is moving right on down, and it will be there, a church, a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. And I'm trusting that we're all here tonight, members of that church, and that there's only one way to enter that church, and not by any denomination you enter, but by new birth. And you say, well, I believe that. And if you do, then you will punctuate every word of this Bible with an amen. Everything the Bible says, because it is Christ, and you are part of Christ, and the Holy Spirit revealing this truth, each aid has had an allotment of the word to be fulfilled. And God always sends a prophet, and the word comes to the prophet, the written word, a discerner of the thoughts and of the heart. Did you always notice the prophet, being that he knowed that he was a prophet? Is because that word of God discerns the thought that's in the heart, foretells things, foreteller and teller forth. Did you ever take the dictionary, the old Hebrew dictionary, and see what the word seer means? It's one that has divine revelation of the written word and how it's vindicated. He foresees things that he foretells, and they come to pass. And oftentimes you may come into church and sit down in a pew in this day, and the Holy Spirit may bring the word, and you may feel like somebody was at your house the night before and knew exactly what you was doing, or knew exactly what you was thinking, or where you was wanting to go or do. And the word may come and cut that thing out, and you may think somebody sure has been talking to the pastor. But the Holy Spirit watches over His own, and His word is sharper than a two-edged sword. And He's here discerning, and He knows, He's watching. And he has men that as they get up to speak, He lays up on their heart. And they may not even know why they spoke it, but when they do, it'll cut right down the middle. And it's God. And you must learn to watch that. It's not the man that's doing that, but it's the Holy Spirit working through the man to fulfill His word. Amen. And bring it right down the line. And He says, it's divine revelation, written word, and how it's vindicated. He foresees things, He foretells, and they come to pass. Now, how does that type in with the Scripture? Just exactly. If there be one among you who is spiritual or a prophet, I, the Lord, will make myself known to him and speak to him in visions, and these things come to pass, then it's God. If they don't come to pass, they don't hear him, don't fear. Therefore, that's how they knew of the man that was speaking, whether he had the right revelation of the word or not. The divine word that's written is because he had the word of the Lord come to him. And now we stay there, we place ourselves and our confidence upon this word. And saints, we're living in a time where so many ain't standing upon this word. And it causes stumbling blocks. And it causes places in our life. Maybe if we're just a fresh new Christian, and I'm just beginning my walk with the Lord, and I'm searching for higher heights, and today I hear this, and tomorrow I hear that. It's Satan's way of trying to deceive you and pull you away from what God's got. Amen. But God set us in a way, and He give us something down on the inside to direct us and to lead us and to guide us in the way that we should go. Amen. And you know, I want to turn back now here. This is in the message, a trumpet gives an uncertain sound. And as Jesus was on the scene at that time, and He knew that He had to go away, and He said, after my departure, grievous wolves will rise up among you. And He left them all of His scripture. Or Paul actually spoke that. I'm sorry. Paul said that in one of his letters to the church, that after his departure, grievous wolves would rise up. But I want you to look here. As Jesus began to leave them, He told them to go to Jerusalem till they be endued with power from on high. And you know, we often, Peter heard all of these things spoke up through that New Testament. All of them disciples heard these things spoke that was spoken. And they heard Jesus say that He had to be crucified. They heard Him say all these things. But yet when He was crucified, they were downhearted and discouraged. They thought the end had come. They had forgot all that He had told them. But Jesus told them when He come back to them to go to Jerusalem and to wait. And I want to pick up here. This is in the message, a trumpet that gives an uncertain sound. Paragraph 215, this was preached January 14th, 1963. Jesus told him in Luke 24:49, behold, I send a promise. Not I might do it. I'll see what I can do about it. I will send the promise of my Father upon you. But go up there to the city of Jerusalem and wait until you be endued with power on high. And now what if they'd have waited, about 6 days and say, what are we waiting on? I believe we ought to accept it by faith. Don't you think so? And so many people today just accept you got a baptism of the Holy Ghost. Just believe that you have it. Or let me pray with you until you speak in tongues and you got it. It's what the Pentecostals say. Everybody wants an emotion. And as you begin to watch, you begin to see it take a hold in the churches. The drums on the pulpit, the fast playing music. It's a spirit. They work you up, get you in an emotion. Get you all worked up and you think you're caught up in the spirit. And then get you to make a claim or pat you on the back. Say, you've had a sensation. You've got it now, brother, sister. But that wasn't what Jesus said when he was talking to them. He laid out his word precisely to Peter and his group. And so we go on here. He said, we ought to accept. Don't you think so? What if James had said, on the ninth day, said, Simon, come here a minute. You know, the other day I had kind of a peculiar feeling, see? And you know what I believe? I believe he just don't want us to wait around here. I believe we've already got it. And what if you're praying for the baptism of the Holy Ghost? And what if you're seeking God for the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Or maybe you're seeking leadership or guidance on a certain thing. And maybe someone comes along and pats you on the back. Oh, brother, you've got it now. But what if God didn't reveal it to you that you've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Man can tell you you've got it. But God will reveal it to you when you've got it. And you'll know. Because it'll vindicate and it'll line up with every word that he said. And as he goes on here, he says, see, I believe we've already got it. Don't you think so? Let's go on with our work. Let's continue on with our ministry. What if it ever never have happened? Why, they knowed what the prophet said. Now listen, the prophet said, precept upon precept, line upon line, and here a little, there a little, hold fast to that's what's good. For with stammering lips and with other tongues will I speak to this people. And this is the rest, the Sabbath. They knowed something had to take place when it come. I'll pour out my spirit in the last day, Joel 2:28, and it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God. I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. And upon my handmaidens and maidservants will I pour out my spirit in that day, and I'll show signs in heaven above, and in the earth below, in fire, smoke, and vapor. And they know there had to be some experience accompany the coming of the Holy Ghost. Now we can stop right there and say, you're going to speak in tongues when you get it. We can stop right there and tell you you're going to do all kinds of things when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But that's not what he said. He says they wasn't taking an uncertain sound. But when they felt that something move and seen the Bible evidence moving with it, and thanks be to God that in this day we've had a prophet explain to us what that Bible evidence was. We're not leaning upon what some man thought it was. We're not leaning upon this and that of someone's idea. But we know if it's been revealed to you that God sent a prophet in this age, you're relying upon the word of God, not the word of man. Amen. And until it's that real to you, you keep praying and asking God to dip it in your heart that you know where you stand. My wife can't go because I say it's so. I can't go because she believes it's so. But it's got to be a personal revelation to me, to her, of where I stand with God. Amen. And that I know. Maybe my husband might let me down. My wife might let me down and not decide to walk with me no more because of some word that the Lord spoke that said it had to be kept just this way. But is there a determination in my life, though I go alone, it's been revealed to me that I am serving the one true God. Amen. And I know him personally. But as he says here, as he goes on, he says, and they know there had to be experience, but when they felt that something move and seen the Bible evidence moving with it, they was uncertain. And right out into the streets they went, excuse me, they were certain it was the Holy Ghost. But why was they certain? And I was just dwelling upon this. And you got it. The book of Acts says that when they went into that upper room, they were in one mind and one accord. And they were in the Spirit. And they were praying. And when the Holy Spirit come down on them as the sound of a mighty rushing wind, and the cloven tongues of fire come down on them, there wasn't beating drums in there. They wasn't jumping around because the music was playing. But where was their minds and their hearts? Their mind and heart was dwelling upon the Word. And what did the Word say? When I, the Holy, the Comforter, shall come, I will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. And you watch the quickening power when it come down in that upper room and it began to stir their hearts. You can imagine what it must have been like for that to come alive in their hearts and in their life. To see with a reality everything they had heard, everything that had been said to them. God made it real. And then when Peter come down out of that upper room, it proved itself out because he said he didn't deny him anymore. He wasn't ashamed, but when he come out, he was quoting the Word to him 100%, right down the line, and it lined up 100%. Oh my, you'll see many people get under an emotion, maybe an anointing, and prophesy, say mighty things, but never come to pass. You better make sure it lines up with the Word. And that's why, oh my, this revelation of God is a stimulation, as our brother preached on here a few days ago. And how when that Word ignites with that thing that's down on the inside, when God placed that seed in there and then put it in the right condition and poured the water to it and give it the Word, you watch it create that stimulation and you watch it burn. And it don't just burn for a small time and then go out. From the day of Pentecost, you look to even when Stephen was stoned, it was burning. He stood right there and still told them they was wrong. That Holy Spirit traveled down through every one of them men that God used at that time. It was a burning. It was pulsating. Not in just one, but in each and every one of them. And why? Because they had been revealed to them personally to who He was and what they were following. And that's why today it's so important. We must make sure God is revealing this to us. My brother may never get excited about what he's hearing. My sister may never be excited about what she heard. But I pray that as I hear that precious Word, it's causing a stimulation in there. That's why I'm happy. That's why you should be happy. That's why there should be a smile on our face and a joy to serve the Lord. Even if there's no music, even if the electric's out and you have to come in, it ought to be a burning in your heart. As you're sitting there, the Word, it doesn't matter. It should create that in your heart and in your life. But you know, you see it if you don't have no music and if you don't have no special singing. Look how dead it is. Everything looks. But oh, when they got music, it looks like it's got so much life. And yet they've walked over top of so much Word. And that's where it's got to come back to, every Word. And that's what that little bride is looking for, every Word. Not compromising here and compromising there and letting this one take and tear it apart, what I believe. You know, how would you feel if you loved your husband or you loved your wife and somebody would come up and just tear her down to you all the time, telling you what an awful person she was and how this and that, and just, would you stand there and let them do it and just, oh yeah, I can't agree with you? No, you wouldn't. And that's the way it ought to be with God. When you can feel that and you see that somebody's tearing your Lord down, His precious Word destroying it, it ought to cause that stir in your heart. Amen. I want nothing to do with that. It's wrong. You ought to feel that in there. When you see a woman that won't dress right, you don't have to wonder. Oh, she says she's got the Holy Ghost and she plays the piano. I don't have to wonder if she's got it. The Word doesn't say she didn't have it. And it don't matter how much she jumps, how much she speaks in tongues, how fast she can run around the church. It don't matter. She's already lost. It's out of the Word. But that's the reality we've got to have. This is the truth. I've anchored my soul on what the prophet, what God said in this day. But that's where it's got to come to. It's not just an idea. I believe it like this, but it's okay if you want to. It's not okay. This is the Word, and this is how it must be. Amen. And don't let someone steal it away from you. If God's dealing with your heart and it's got to be this way or it's got to be that way, don't let some, oh, but we're all brothers in Christ, or we're all sisters. Don't let it steal you away from what God's directing your path to be. Amen. But stand firm on what God's revealing to you. Amen. And let the Holy Spirit work in your life. Lord. Amen. Amen. He said they knew they'd had experience, right? The streets they went, excuse me, oh, they were certain it was the Holy Ghost. And you know how certain they was till Peter, that little uneducated fella, jumped up on a stump or a box somewhere, said, "You men of Judea," little chest stuck out like a banny rooster. He said, "You men of Judea, you that dwell at Jerusalem, I was scared of you a while ago. I'm not now. Let this be known unto you and hearken to my words. Amen. These are not drunk like you suppose it is, but this is that we hope, but this is that we believe. This is that," he said, "this is that that was spoken by the prophet Joel." Hallelujah. Nothing uncertain about it. This is what was spoke by the prophet of Joel. Oh my. And saints, that's how it's come in this day. It's got to be just that way. This is what was spoken. And this is what God said to me, and this is how I'm going to live. And this is how I'm going to let mold my life by it. And don't compromise or give in for anything that someone says. But you know, there's so much today in the land, so many voices and things, and it just is so many saying this and so many saying that, and what about this and what about that? That's why God put it on printed page,
amen,
untampered with.
Glory.
And God made a way that it would stay that way,
amen,
and it's still there, and you can get a recording and you can get a book and you can hear it for yourself just the way He said it. And you get in a prayer closet and you begin to cry. If you got a pastor on this side saying one thing and a pastor on this side saying something, you go in a prayer closet and you just begin to search and you begin to pray and ask God, and you watch the Holy Spirit lead you in the right path. But you follow His guidance. It may be the unpopular side of things. It may not be the way you wanted it to turn out. But you follow God where He leads you.
Yes.
He may not lead your children that way. He may not lead your mom and dad that way. But if He's leading you, you stay with Him no matter what. You follow it to the T. It don't matter if your husband don't want to go, if your wife don't want to go. You stay with it 100% right down the line. And what God had used you to His glory to be that vessel that He can prove to this world that He's living today. But oh my, you know, so many, they rely on sensations and they rely on these things. But I want, hearing the message, the voice of God in the last days, this was preached in January 20th, 1963, paragraph 68. I'll try to close off here. But these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. There's the word. They shall speak with new tongues, take up serpents that would not harm them. If they drink deadly things, it would not bother them. And if they lay their hands on the sick, they shall recover. And watch, and that's all scripture, right to the letter. Right to the letter. But then he says, but you watch these things plus all of the rest of the scripture put together.
Amen.
Watch it all. Don't turn, amen, just because you got mighty signs and wonders, but you keep your eye upon all the scripture.
Oh.
And he goes, he says, now not, that alone will not confirm it, not at all. That's where we Pentecostals get on the wrong road. Did not Jesus say many will come into me in that day and say, Lord, have not I done mighty things in your name? Have I not prophesied in your name? Have I not all done all of this in your name? And Jesus said, depart from me, you that work iniquity. I never knew you. Do you see, my sisters and my brothers, why I'm so condemning and indicting this generation? You might speak with tongue like men and angels, and you might dance in the spirit all around the church. That has nothing to do with it. I've seen Mohammedans dance around like that. I have heard in the witch doctor's camp, seen the witches stand up and speak in tongues and interpret it and tell exactly what was going to happen. And it happened that way. I've seen even a pencil raise up and write in unknown tongues. And only one there could read it and was of the devil. You can't base your eternal destination upon some sensation. Satan can impersonate any of those sensations. And it's to know Christ. Something changes in your life. Watch your life and pattern it with the word. And see where you're at. Taking inventory, certainly. In spite of all these impersonations, false voices, false prophets, all these other things that are rising up, Jesus still said, in spite of all of this, if any man will hear my voice and follow after me, he is the word. Listen. Amen. And that's why it's so important for it to be the word. It's wonderful to be patted on the back and told how nice you are and how good you are. But it takes the word to show us where we're lacking.
Amen.
And it shows us where we're short and what we need to overcome to be exactly what he wanted us to be. You know, oftentimes, that's what the churches have got away from. There is no more correction in a service. There is no more, as Brother Smith used to say, they used to call him sin-killing Smith when he'd get up and begin to preach back in Pentecost and things. Why? There was a desire in there that Christ was expressing. He was cutting those things out. And that's what the true ministry today is still doing, is cutting out sin, which is unbelief, and moving it out. But when you get into a place where there is no unbelief cutting out, when it's just a group of people that float along, and from Sunday to Sunday you don't see no change, and you don't see no overcoming, and it's evident, you know where that people's sitting.
Amen.
And they're feeding on dead manna. They're not getting fresh manna. They're not getting fresh word and meat to sustain them. But the carcass is not there. But oh my, where the carcass is, the eagles will be gathered.
Amen.
They'll be feeding on fresh meat, fresh word. And what does fresh meat and fresh word do? It generates and generalizes a body and rejuvenates it and will give it strength to continue on and to climb higher. Amen. And to grow. Hallelujah. Amen. This is in the... You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. This is in the message I have heard, but now I see. Page 20, paragraph 102. Oh, men and women tonight, if you could look around and see how close we are to the coming of the Lord. You who have put off the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you may be relied upon some sensation or something that you've done that Satan can impersonate. And so many people have been deceived into believing because they spoke in tongues or they danced, they've done it, they have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and they do not. Because their life doesn't bear record of the Word. It's not showing an overcoming. It don't show a manifestation that he said would take place in that life. He says, you may be relied upon some sensation or something you've done. Satan can impersonate and can't have the real spirit in you to go all the way in God's promises. How can a man that claims to have the Holy Ghost deny one word of the Bible being not right? You can't do it. You can't do it. Just take it and let it sink into your heart just the way he said it. Our brother has mentioned that many, many times. But if he's got the true baptism of the Holy Ghost, he cannot deny a word.
Amen.
Amen. No matter how religious you are, how many churches you belong to, how many books your name's on, if that genuine Holy Ghost is in you, which is the Word manifested, you'll see the message in the hour because it's the Holy Ghost that does it. But there has to be something light that off, inspiration strike you. If you pour water on the ground, and on the ground, and there's no seed in there to strike it, how can it ever bring forth anything? There's nothing there to bring forth. That is the only the elected of God will see it. The elected of God seen it in Noah's time, Moses' time, and Jesus' time. The apostles' time, Luther's time, Wesley's time. Pentecostal time, because it was the seed that was on the earth when this inspiration was poured out. Now, while the inspiration's poured out together, the bride together, it's only those who are elected that will see it.
Hallelujah.
And oh my, if there's something in the inside, when this word begins to pour out,
amen,
and you begin to feel it moving in your heart, and it's causing a stir, and it causes, oh, that's good. And maybe you don't say much about it, but oh, feed it with all you've got. That's very precious if the true, genuine word, when it's cutting your flesh, but there's still something on the inside saying, amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's the way it is. Hallelujah, let it be to me.
Yes.
Oh, my saints, that's a very few that's got that predestinated seed on the inside.
Hallelujah.
And oh, how thankful you ought to be if you can feel that. And oh, my, how it ought to cause a stimulation on the inside. When you can hear that word. And then come back another service and hear it again and look and say, I overcame that thing.
Amen.
Oh, what a joy. There ought to be a shout in your heart.
Yeah.
That's what causes our hands to go up. It's not, I got to raise my hand because we're going to sing. But there's a love. As we were singing tonight, there's a love in there.
Amen.
Oh, my, in moments like these, I sing out a song.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my, when you can feel His Holy Spirit just surround you. And you feel it move in. And oh, my, you can see your life lining up with that precious word. What a joy it ought to bring. Oh, we ought to be a happy people.
Amen.
We ought to be an excited people. We ought to be a people that can dance in the Spirit without music when we need to, or even if the music's playing, there's nothing wrong with it if it's done right, as long as it's in the Spirit.
Yes.
But don't jump no higher than you can live. But oh, Lord,
Amen.
As we're moving into that, our feet ought to be getting light on the ground as we're fixing to take our flight.
Amen.
Fixing to leave this world, we ought to be seeing the world fall off. And what a pleasure and a joy it ought to cause on the inside and a lightness of heart.
Amen.
Oh, my, don't look around you at the things that are in chaos and the things that are falling apart, but keep your eyes centered on Jesus Christ and where He's taking you. And let it excite your heart. Don't let your heart be troubled. But oh, my, He's coming back.
Amen.
And I'm looking and longing for it. Can you just imagine what it's going to be? But oh, my, do we dwell on that, or do we just sit around and dwell on all that's going to be lost? Oh, and that's wonderful. Keep praying for our loved ones, but don't let them drag you down.
Amen.
But keep your eyes on the goal.
Yes.
And maybe God will use your life to His glory to bring one of them in.
Amen.
Oh, my saints, we ought to be happy. We ought to be, Oh, we should be able to worship him so much for what he's done. Hallelujah. Let's all stand if you would. I apologize for being long-winded, but hey, man, I'm typically short. I figure I can do it once in a while. Amen. But I love him. Oh, my saints. Every day we ought to be so excited. You can see the move of God, and you see it is saddening, and when you look and you see the things that's going on in the church and within the message, that's the burden that you see when you begin to see the people that once held a standard, and they've lost their standard.
Yes.
But oh my, and maybe you know brother so and so, he used to, but he just don't hold a standard anymore. But oh, I pray, Lord, let me be one that'll stay true to you.
Hallelujah.
Stay in that harness and be one, Lord, that you can express through in this day. Oh, my. Hallelujah. He makes me happy. Amen. May the Lord bless you.
Hallelujah. Makes me happy.
Amen. Why? Because assurance. I sit there this evening and had assurance. And you know what Brother Bram said in the token? That token is your assurance.
Amen.
What is the token? It's the life of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Word is life. If you see that Word made manifest through your tabernacle of flesh, then that is life, because the Word is life.
Amen.
So when Brother Timothy was up here reading these things and talking about these things, I could see me. Gives me a greater assurance because he was talking about that token. Absolutely was. He didn't say T-O-K-E-N, but he was talking about the token.
Amen.
Because it's alive, and he was bringing out the life of the Word.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, my. You know, when he was talking about Stephen just a little bit, and talking about, he used the scripture of St. John, when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, when it comes, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever he said. Now, some may think, well, give me some proof of that. Show me somebody in the scripture. Well, he was talking about those in the book of Acts that had that scripture made alive. But even think about Stephen now. Look at Stephen's defense. When he spoke the word to those religious people, think about it. He wasn't sitting there reading the Bible. He wasn't there reading quotes. He was in the Holy Ghost speaking that word. The Holy Ghost was bringing that to his mind. And he was speaking to them people. And then as Brother Timothy said, you know, cutting out sin. Any true fivefold ministry today will cut sin out.
Amen.
And some people get tired of that. They think, oh, why would you want to cut sin out? Or why do you have to cut sin out? And I'll show you even where Stephen. Now, Stephen was just a deacon. But he was cutting sin out. You believe that?
Amen.
And people get a little tight on me or feelings on me, because when I really express, you know when somebody's got the Holy Ghost or not. Not being judges and judging people. The Word judges. The Word tells you who has the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Brother Timothy mentioned it tonight about what Brother Bram said. The Holy Ghost is known. It's not hidden. And the Holy Ghost will cut sin out. Listen, even Stephen, what he said, just renew your minds in closing. Verse 51 in chapter 7 of the book of Acts. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart. Tell them they didn't have the new birth. Tell them they didn't have the Holy Ghost. Right to their face. But people don't like it when I say that. But what about these other apostles in the Bible and these other men, these great patriarchs and great men of the Scripture? They told them right to their face where they was at.
Yes.
You stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart? What? That's not born again. That's not filled with the Holy Ghost. They ain't been dead. That old soul ain't been crucified and killed. You see? Stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart and ears. All right? He says, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye.
Amen.
Oh my! Look at the people, and you probably know some people writing this message. If I would tell them straight to their face, under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, they wouldn't like that. Oh, they'd hate that. But God's word will tell you where you got the Holy Ghost. I don't have to guess whether I got it. You don't have to guess whether you got it. The word plainly tells you whether you got it. But what we've got today is people thinking they got it because they haven't got ears to hear what the Spirit says to the church. They can't hear the word. They're blind, deceived. So the word can't tell them whether they even got this. So here they are in this vapor floating around. I think I got the Holy Ghost. Praise God, I believe I've got it. I've just got to accept I got it. No. The word will tell you whether you got it. Without any doubts, any questions, you don't have to even sit there and begin to wonder. Then if you find the word tells you you don't have it, then you got to seek and cry out to God to get it. Because he's the only one who can give it to you. I can't. Brother Timothy can't. There ain't a brother in this camp right here that can. No way. It takes God himself to give you that Holy Ghost. And he's the one you got to seek. But the word will tell you right now whether you got it or not. And if you got it, you'll be able to receive this word for your day. It ain't, oh, I don't believe this, and I don't think it's that way. No, you'll be able to receive the word for your day, and it will vindicate itself to you. You're not even trying. You do not have to try to live this life, saints. You don't have to try to be a good person. You don't have to try to keep from cursing. You don't have to try to keep from it. No. When he, which is the Holy Ghost, comes, friend, he'll bring this body into subjection to the word. And it's a life lived, again, I shall say, automatically. It just happens. It's burning on the inside because every man and woman that's living on this earth is motivated by whatever desires in their heart. You do what your desire is. If you love God, serve God, and believe his word, and you can get the revelation of it, you love it and you'll do it. If you don't love it, you won't do it. It's as simple as could be. And in just a couple more minutes, let me say this. In case this tape goes out, along with, because some may not want to listen to mine, may like listen to his, but we'll get them anyway. But you don't have to make people live right. I can't put people on restriction and make them live right. No. I can't rule them and say, you do this and you do that, and make them Christians. That just makes them a worse hypocrite, is all that does. Yeah.
Amen.
The word of God will make you a real, true, genuine in his Holy Spirit in your life. Amen. Glory. I enjoyed that tonight.
Amen.
I really did. That was really good. As I said, I was seeing blessed assurance.
Amen.
Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Amen. And when you get an assurance in your heart, makes you happy. And you praise the Lord. Like Brother Timothy said, it's so easy to praise him when you know you're on the right side. But when you're down here under condemnation, condemning yourself, and you know you ain't living right, oh my, you'll try and you'll just do it with the rest of the folks, But when you really got something on the inside living, amen, I love you, Lord.
Amen.
I love you. And when you sing about loving him, you know you love him because you're keeping his commandments.
Amen.
If you're not keeping his commandments, you know you don't love him. So now you're putting your hand up just to be like with everybody else. But if you know you're living right, loving him, doing everything he says, amen. Glory. And I love that kind of worship. It's all good to sing about the coming of the Lord and all this and the other, but I love that good old worship. Amen. Like tonight, just worship of the Lord and sweetness of the Holy Spirit. I love it. Amen. Do you love him?
Amen.
I thank the Lord I was here tonight. Amen. I appreciate him. He's so wonderful. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, as we come to the close of another service, and Lord, about to sing a last little tune before we leave here, we know, Lord, that these little services are for a purpose. Everything, Lord, that we've been here tonight and listened to, and been with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and everything, Lord, you've seen us all in your mind before there's ever a moon or a star. And you've seen, Lord, also those that would be encouraged and, Lord, climb higher in Christ. And Lord, we realize that all that's going on, it's a great work. It's something, Lord, it's a moving of the Holy Ghost. And maybe some people would be confused and think, there wasn't jumping from bench to bench. There wasn't a drum beating, as our brother spoke about, and the guitar wanging and everything. But Lord Jesus, a genuine Holy Ghost don't need that in their heart. Father, all they need is a genuine Holy Ghost in their heart and making that melody into the heart unto the Lord. Oh, God, that's a real genuine worship. And we appreciate you so much, Lord. Just continue to draw us closer, Lord, and let us see anything, show us anything, Lord, in our lives. It's not exactly the way you want it to be. Just help us now, Lord, is our prayer. Lead us and guide us by the sweet Holy Spirit as we walk away from this little building tonight. Truly, Lord, not walk from your presence. But Lord, stay in the Spirit, Lord. Walk in the Spirit. Talk in the Spirit. Think by the Spirit. Everything done by the Word of God. Grant that, Lord Jesus. We ask now in your holy, precious name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's sing a little chorus, In the Presence of Jehovah. Amen. In the presence. Sing it again. Of Jehovah, God Almighty, Prince of Peace, troubles presence now, walk in the Spirit, pray often, talk to the Lord, amen, read the Word of God, listen to the Word of God, stay close to Him, for there's many things yet to go before He appears, and if we're willing and hungering, He said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled, amen, so I'm going to stand on His promise. There's a hunger burning my heart. I know He's going to fill me. Yes. Amen. So may God richly bless you. You're all dismissed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.